Good morning, Joan, and welcome back.
Well, here we are on another gray day, and you know, I have to tell our listeners, I know lots of you out there in the States and so forth have tons of snow and everything else, and that's going to melt and go away. But we have had months of rain or gray weather.
And you we're not used to it.
Well, we're not used to it, exactly. And I'm starting to watch the Travel Channel just to see sunshine, you know, some islands in the Caribbean or something else. But rain notwithstanding, the activities obviously continue here in Rome and Vatican City. And the highlight, really, of the past days, if you will, last week, if you recall, we were taping the show as the Holy Father was giving his address to the Diplomatic Corps. And that is such a signal moment in papal speeches every year that I think it behooves us just to spend a couple of minutes looking at the major topics he discussed. First of all, to tell our listeners, this speech is given to the Diplomatic Corps accredited to the Holy See, and the Holy Father basically looks at the lights and shadows of the year just past. And he looks at major situations in the church, but really kind of in the world. It's the State of the World address, taking the world by region, perhaps by continent, as may be the case, or by specific country, as also may be the case. And I would say that in his topics, if you had to categorize them, he began by focusing on suffering in the world caused by, obviously, natural catastrophes, by regional conflicts, or by terrorist attacks. And he gave great consideration to the poor. He linked very much of the first part of his speech to his letter for the World Day of Peace, January 1st, obviously, which was the theme was fighting poverty to build peace. And so he talked a great deal about the types of poverty in the world today. There's not only the material deprivation, but there is also spiritual poverty. He spoke of the current financial and economic crisis, which, of course, has obviously worsened the plight of the people who are already poor. And the Pope said several times how those people who suffer, and especially suffer poverty, are very, very close to him. And it's interesting. He said the poorest human beings are the unborn children. He mentioned the infirm, the elderly, broken families, and those lacking points of reference. Then the Holy Father turned to situations of sometimes violence, sometimes just simple anti-Christianity, anti-Catholicism throughout the world. We know what happened in India months ago. We know Christians are leaving the Holy Land. We know Christians are leaving Iraq and so forth. Life is very difficult for Christians. And the Pope said Christianity, however, is a religion of freedom and peace. And people, governments, populaces should not be afraid of Christianity for this very reason. And he said, Christianity stands at the service of the true good of humanity. And then I think two more areas that obviously the Pope focused on. One was he talked about secular societies. And he says a healthy secular society welcomes religion as a solid foundation for building a just society. So he really was saying what Cardinal Toron said at a very interesting discussion the other day on the American model of church and state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Cardinal Toron said he doesn't like to talk about the separation, and this was what the Holy Father was saying too, not about the separation of church and state, but the distinction that church and state can walk hand in hand. Both can benefit society. Both can be good for society. But we cannot discard one to the building up of the other. So they should go, religion and church and state, hand in hand. And then I would say, if I had to summarize a fourth point of the Holy Father's speech, he obviously dedicated much time to saying no to violence and to arms, and yes to dialogue and reconciliation. So that's perhaps a poor summary, but a summary of, I would say, what are really the main points.
Very
of
the dense speech, touching on so many issues.
And it's on, you know, it will be up forever on the Vatican's website. You can go to the Holy Father and speeches and Diplomatic Corps and so forth. And it's in different languages. So
right. He originally gives it in French.
In French, exactly.
It's the diplomatic language.
Exactly.
Joan, you were mentioning something touching that happened this week, which was the death of Cardinal Laghi, which is significant because of the work
certainly.
The number of years he spent working in the United States and establishing ties between the Vatican and the U.S., right?
He died at the age of 86 and had a magnificent career. I mean, right here in the Roman Curia as prefect of the Congregation for Education. He was a nuncio for many years in many, many countries. And I had some long conversations with him in my early years at the Vatican Information Service. And I know a lot of his first years in the United States corresponded with the Reagan presidency and corresponded, obviously, you know, with the fall of the Berlin Wall. I mean, it was just an amazing period in history. But what was interesting, under President Ronald Reagan, the United States did, on January 10th, 1984, declare formal diplomatic relations with the Holy See at the level of ambassador for both, ambassador for the U.S. and nuncio for the Vatican. And there'd been ties before. There'd been what you might call special envoys and so forth. But what is absolutely interesting is that Cardinal Laghi died almost to the hour that the United States was celebrating.
25 years
yeah,
afterwards.
It is 25th anniversary. Of course, his funeral was on Tuesday, and the Holy Father kind of reviewed the Cardinal's life and his, you know, magnificent achievements. The Mass was presided by Cardinal Sodano, Dean of the College of Cardinals, but the Holy Father was present at the end.
Carrying on in the week, Sunday was a very touching day, wasn't it?
Oh,
it's a beautiful ceremony,
it was.
The one that happens every year. I think it coincides with the feast of the baptism of our Lord.
Of our Lord in the Jordan, which the Pope spoke about at length, noting that Jesus, at the age of around 30, left home, left Nazareth, and coming to the Jordan River, was baptized by John, his cousin John, as a matter of fact. And but, you know, you look at the splendor, the beauty, the magnificence of the Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo's frescoes and everything. And here's parents and all these little newborn babies who were really quite good during the actual baptism part of the ceremony. It was very, very wonderful. But what struck me, if I had my little child in my arms, the Holy Father, in the Sistine Chapel, was baptizing my child, I'd be so overjoyed. Other than the very significant, moving, solemn spiritual moment, obviously, which baptism is, the fact that, oh my gosh, the Pope, this particular setting, I would be grinning ear to ear, but everybody was so solemn, adding to the solemnity of the occasion.
You baptized 13.
13. Nine boys and four little girls. I think two or three of the boys at least had the same name. Christian was, Cristiano was perhaps the name I heard the most. But you know what I loved was what the Holy Father called baptism. He defined it as the bridge God built between himself and us, the path by which he makes himself accessible to us, and this is so beautiful, the divine rainbow of our life, the doorway of hope. I mean, you know, had his homily stopped right there, it would have been absolutely complete. But he also said the child is not an object owned by the parents. The child is entrusted to the parents for really their lifetime, if you want to, and they are to make sure that this child, in educating him, it's their first duty, also knows who God is, where the child came from, what their final destiny is. I thought the most telling thing, though, because he spoke also, obviously, at the Angelus about the sacrament of baptism and having just baptized 13 children. But I thought his definition of where parents should be was rather phenomenal. He said that the parents have to look for the right balance between these kind of two extremes, if you will. He said the desire to dispose of their children as if they were personal possession, forming them on the basis of their own ideas and desires, and, on the other hand, a libertarian attitude expressed in allowing the children to grow up in complete autonomy, satisfying their every desire and aspiration in the belief that this is the way to cultivate a personality. So a very excellent, I think, definition of what parents should seek to be. you know.
Finally, Joan, we'll end this with a light note. You noticed the other day crossing the square that the Christmas crib was coming down much too early, right?
Well, usually the nativity scene and the gigantic Christmas tree in St. Peter's Square, the nativity is unveiled on December 24th and stays up for 6 weeks till the end of January. In fact, actually, John Paul II, who had this idea for St. Peter's Square in 1982, he had said this should remain up until the Feast of the Presentation, which on occasion it has, but always the absolute final days of January. So here we are, Monday of this week, and we got 3 or more weeks to go till the end of the month, and they're taking it down. And I went in the press office and asked around, and nobody knew the explanation. Everybody agreed it was very, very early. So fast forward a few hours, I'm at an event where someone who works in the Vatican and would be in a position to know about this, I said, "What's the deal?" And I said, "Nobody can give an answer." She said, "Well, apparently there was just like some mistake, a no was understood as yet. Whatever happened, my understanding is from her that the nativity scene is being put back up. It wasn't totally dismantled when I was walking by."
So we'll be able to tell our listeners next week whether it's
back
up again.
On my way home, I'm going to stop by St. Peter's Square, and I'll bring you the whole scoop, folks. And it's either put back up for all of us to enjoy for 3 more weeks, or it was dismantled. We shall see.
Thank you very much, Joan.
God bless.